Welcome everybody to the Haunted Vermont podcast. My name is Paul Dolsky, and thank you so much for coming on and listening and everything else. So, without further ado, let's talk to the man behind the mixture of podcasting, really. Like, if you really want to learn anything about Earth itself, flat Earth, the moon, science, paranormal, you go to this guy's podcast, and this guy's name is Kobe from the Blue Coyote. So, Kobe, welcome aboard.
Paul, thanks for having me back on, man. I'm excited to be here.
Hey, no problem. And it's a pleasure. I know, like, I've been on, like, a couple times on yours, so I think it's time to try to get you on more, too, so we can talk everything paranormal and ghostly-ness and everything out, which we'll probably get into that with, like, what our future plans on as well, because, as everybody should know with the title of this episode, we teamed up with you, with the Blue Coyote. So, Kobe, so how do you feel about getting teamed up with Haunted Vermont as a project together?
Well, dude, I'm excited about it, obviously. You know, we just naturally continue to collaborate, and it's, you know, I love that Halloween, the haunted realm, of course. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the trips that we're planning. We'll talk more about. And it feels like a natural move to me, you know, that we both have our own realms and that they're going to continue to collaborate. So, you know, it just, and it makes it fun to have, you know, my buddies in your realm that we can continue to do this. And that's what it's all about, you know, just having fun with what you're doing. And I'm excited.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. Very simple. So I know it's been a while. I want to say a couple years now. But, you know, so what's been going on? Kind of bring the listeners that may have listened to your show. Like, what have you been up to anyway?
Yeah. Since the first collaboration. Well, okay. So what I have going on, I've kind of transitioned. Well, you know, to be transparent, when I started the Blue Coyote, it was something that I put a lot of stock that internally I put a lot of stock into, just like my music career before that, which I still want to dabble in the future. But to keep it on subject, I put a lot of pressure on myself to get things done and to keep it going. As I've continued to do it and loosened up that sort of pressure that I put on myself, it's just kind of more naturally flowed, because it's supposed to come from a place of fun and just enjoyment. And you know, I say this because that ties into what I've had just going on in my life as well, focusing on mental health and well-being, which we were talking about a little bit before. I've just allowed myself to get some help with that and open up and find more of a flow state in my life. And that's allowed me to be myself more. And I'm getting things done just because I'm excited about them and not obsessing over what I think they should be. And so to put it into some specifics, I've had like over the last 3 months gotten like a few episodes out. So there's new stuff over on my channel, and I just had Darsh on, and yeah, so man, it's been great. You just came back on too, and I'm back on here. So, you know, you can hear, like you said, you can expect more about, you never really know what's coming from the Blue Coyote, to be quite honest. So you can just expect more of the unexpected and, some real in-depth content.
Oh yeah. And it's definitely some in-depth stuff, and it's kind of nice to, I forget the guest name right now, but, he came from Africa and he was talking about, his hidden city, I think it was, or hidden town or something like that. And that was just really nice to hear, like, old history in general, where if I remember that episode correctly too, it was like, you know, it goes to show how easy it is to lose sight of the old world versus trying to keep the record so that we don't lose what's going on. And that's unfortunately the case with you know, historical societies, because they can only hold the information for so long before they have to trash it. And it's just like, then you better put it on computer or something, because once this is gone, it's like, you know, that's it. You don't know the old history anymore.
Oh boy. Yeah. So yeah, just real quick while we're in the beginning, yeah, so that's and to put in some specifics, I interview musicians, artists, doctors. I'm gonna have law enforcement on, like a special ops trainer. And of course, we talk about the lost history of Earth itself being a realm rather than a plane, and we speculate and theorize on why we're influenced to see things the way that we are from birth. And so to jump right back in there, yeah, Chris Caleb, dude. I had Chris Caleb on the show. He's a college student in Nairobi, Kenya, and he found the blue coyote when he started when he got caught wind that the world might not be what it seems to be at a party one day, and we set up an interview. And because he'd been studying the lost history of his area of the world and the earth itself. So yeah, like you were saying, Paul, these historical societies, not only do they have limited, you can only go off of what you have, right? Which is open for interpretation. And it's especially open for interpretation when the institutions surrounding the people, it's all made up of people, but these institutions have an influence to present something in a certain way. And there's questions about that. So, like, I've heard a lot of theorizing about how those deserts, what you'd find near Kenya and the Africa's huge, but in those desert areas, they might have been lush at one point and green and had buildings and structures there, which a lot could be buried under the sand if they're very old. And you can even look at, the pyramids and those structures you can find all over the world as well. So if you look around the world, you'll find a lot of the same architecture in all corners that cannot be recreated today, like pyramids and certain domes and arches, and yeah, I have a lot of theories about that.
Yeah, and to touch on the whole historical society and stuff. So I know I've said this a few times on my podcast, and I'm going to say it again because this is the best example I can give about like what we're talking about with old history. And then once it's gone, and we don't know any more of it because unfortunately it got destroyed. So everybody knows the Pittsford Haunted House. There used to be a state hospital or the Calvary Preventorium back in the day where it housed tuberculosis patient, and obviously there's ghost stories there about a nurse that still resides in the Pittsford Haunted House. And so what I want to get to is when Pittsford Haunted House, before it came to be, there was another building on there, the property. And when they went inside this building, there was tons and tons of old documents, basically patient records of of their medical condition, this and that, right? So instead of giving it to the historical society, they gave it to the fire chief, and he basically just destroyed them. So all that paperwork that they found is basically no more, all because it didn't get brought to the right people to document it. Could you imagine going through that paperwork to learn how much we evolved, but also what was more really going on behind the walls of the state hospital there?
Yeah, that's something that raises a flag for me, just in the sense of if it has historical significance, why is it just brushed aside? And that happens continuously. And just as if we're talking about something like the old world, for example, the if you look at just like Washington, D.C., just talking about architecture, all those buildings couldn't necessarily be recreated today. Or I definitely know something that couldn't be recreated is the pyramids in Giza. And if you look right here in New England, there's structures in the ground. I've talked about on my podcast, this guy, Jim Vieira, he's found these locations where, they're using stones just as big in the pyramids, in star forts and structures in the woods of New England. But that's something that's not looked into. And the timeline of this is very shady as well. Fast forward to what you're talking about, Paul, with this hospital this Pittsburgh hospital that who knows what's going on behind these walls, right? And then they shut down, and the documents is given to the fire chief, and it's thrown away. You know, right away, my mind goes to the fact that that must have been an experimental time in history, right? I'm probably guessing that's in the late 1800s, early 1900s. They're very experimental, because in this old world that I'm describing that builds pyramids and on all corners of the earth, I believe that they knew more about medicine than what's being done now. I think people used to live longer than they do now. And I know for a fact that the Rockefellers, you know, there's a lot of truther, basically, mythology about names like the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, and I don't get too carried away. I think we need to focus on what's in front of us, but that's a different conversation. But it's fact that the Rockefellers are big into oil, okay? And medicine started to be based off of petroleum. And they would outlaw natural remedies. I can look into more specifics for you to send over. But I know, and they also have a hand in designing the school system. These oil conglomerates had a hand in designing how the American school system would be built. And so I think, you know, I'm not pinning it all on the Rockefeller family. I don't put too much stock into that. I'm just seeing a system that's helping each other. A mental hospital, if you break down the logistics, is not to or some sort of institution like that, right? Maybe it's county jail or the mental hospital, not too fucking different from public school, okay? And so they have a hand in the General Education Board. They have a hand in medicine based off of petroleum. I guess the point here is that our history is very manufactured, and there could have been a time that a lot more was known about our existence or the natural way to thrive, the natural way to thrive. I think we can get back to that. I think it's heading to that. And Paul, let me just hand it back off, man. What are you looking at over there?
Tuberculosis, and I was looking to see like some sort of date or something, but it's funny because all I can find is how tuberculosis might be COVID-19, basically.
Yeah, I mean, any name like that, pneumonia, tuberculosis, I mean, let's say pneumonia, COVID-19, the flu, it's just a collection of symptoms, in my opinion. It's a collection of symptoms, and based on who you go to, you'll get a diagnosis. And I was just listening today, like an antibiotic, actually it kills everything when you take it. So whatever you've got going on to fight back against the disease, it wipes out. And I guess, and then as well, like a virus like COVID-19, it's not alive. They say that it's dead, but then they give it these characteristics as if it's growing and changing and morphing, and something that's dead and hasn't been isolated to be proven to be alive can't do that. If I'm bouncing around too much, dude, just tell me. You want to go with this thing. All right. Cool.
No, you're good. You're good. It's just interesting because as I'm looking up tuberculosis to try to get like an idea of like 19th century or whatever, just to kind of clarify a little bit. But, you know, actually looking at the symptoms and everything else about tuberculosis, how it attacks your lungs, and it goes back and forth between one person to the next, and it is contagious by air. What did that sound like? But interesting nonetheless. But no, to get back to like the history and stuff, but you know, I always just bring Pittsburgh Haunted House more because I just hear that and I just think like all that history that we could have learned is gone. And it's just one of those sad things, because as we all know, historical societies are ran by volunteers. So they don't always know the real answer. They just go by, as we were talking about, what they know. And, you know, well, what if we could have added more to just what we know to actual documents to back up? Like, another thing I used to bring up is with the ghost story. So there's a nurse named Mary that supposedly resides in the Pittsburgh Haunted House from back in the day. The story also goes where she contracted tuberculosis and died inside of the hospital with the patient. And then a couple yards away, even just down the road a little bit, you get Vermont Police Academy, which also used to be a state hospital for patients of tuberculosis per se. And there's even a story there about some nurse named Mary that will come and take care of you if you are not feeling good. So I don't know why back in the day my mind never put two and two together that could these two places and the same name, Mary, be the same person?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's some, who knows, dude, she might, if they're very close, it could be some sort of manifestation. I mean, if, you know, if you have multiple accounts of people being treated by the same nurse that doesn't exist, to me, there's something going on there.
Well, once again, that goes back to, you know, the destroyed documents where we could have possibly have seen the nurse's name. If we even just saw a nurse's name named Mary, that would have just backed up both stories.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, exactly. And I wanted to clarify, too, like you said, historical societies and volunteers, it's made up of well-intended people. You know, I'm not being accusatory. I'm just making observations. Those influences, they flow in from somewhere, you know? Yeah, dude, I think it's really a fascinating question. What was this place like before we got here? Because it could have been not that long ago. It was very different. And, you know, just to kind of going off that theme of like Northeast history, it's if you look at Boston and New York, and I want to say Philadelphia and D.C., it's in like a straight line, like a 45-degree angle these cities are set up. And I look at a lot of, and I guess what I'm saying with, I'm just connecting here that it's like a well, this place that we live in, this America with the architecture and something like that, the cities being in a perfect line. I think there was a well-established civilization here not that long ago. And you know, then we get these, and to push that aside, our history is riddled with things like tuberculosis and plagues, and it kind of creates this narrative where these influences and these, I don't use the term they, you know, I'm talking about, because that creates like this boogeyman. I say, you know, these institutions, they riddle our history with things like tuberculosis and plagues and wars. I kind of set up a narrative where a domineering force is needed to control everybody, where a force is needed to take care of everybody, because the dog, if a force is needed to take care of everybody, because we at the end of the day, we can't be controlled. But yeah, that was my point, that that these things are kind of, who knows what was really going on in these hospitals, but we're given this narrative that people have always known that human beings get each other sick with these so-called viruses, and that we need this sort of emergency force in place to take care of us.
And that's my cat Cinder, our cat Cinder. He liked to come up here and bug the crap out of me when I'm doing something. So he's always got to be like, hey, what you doing? But I was pondering what you were saying with like the straight lines and stuff. So that's kind of like goes back to what we know about like Stonehenge, the pyramids, and then there's like one more place where like if you took a ruler and you like drew a line to each place, it almost formed like a triangle. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I've heard of a lot of things like that. And yeah, just to clarify, you know, a point that I want to, an example that I know for sure, I don't want that point to get lost. If you look at Boston, New York City, D.C., you know, those Northeast cities, if you were to look at them on a map, they show up in a 45-degree line. And as I look around, dude, even like in these small New England towns, like these churches and cathedrals, and it's like this beautiful, are like right here, and you know, not far from me, there's these stone churches, and it's something that couldn't even necessarily be recreated today, or You know, I don't know that for a fact, but I know there's a lot of examples of architecture that couldn't be. Another point is, given the narrative that is that's given to us, like, it doesn't make sense that people would immigrate to America and find people living purely indigenously, right, and hunter-gatherer types, and, you know, living in the forest off the land. If that's all that's ever been here, that people would come here and try to survive and forage, but they would stop and build these huge monuments, right? That seems like waste. If I'm speculating, that's wasted resources and time. It doesn't follow the narrative or the timeline. Paul, let's maybe transition to how this somewhat connects to the spirit realm with our Haunted Vermont theme. I'd say we've been given a narrative that kind of takes, I use the term God, but this narrative and these institutions that I'm talking about, they make it very about the physical realm and kind of turning matter into what is our physical matter around us. That is the narrative that we're given, that the spirit and consciousness is what's up for question, that we know we're in a physical place, but we don't know why or how or what we really are. If we follow, we talk about these mental hospitals and historical narratives that take the triumph out of our history, that takes the spirit out of things. And that is part of why I think today the average person questions the existence of the spirit, which would naturally question the existence of hauntings.
Well, don't forget, and just to touch on that real quick, but back in the day, right, if we were to even say such thing, we would be known as, like, what, mentally insane. And, of course, we would be chained up and everything else because we were not normal of the world. But so as you bring up churches, and I want to point this out too, unfortunately, I can't remember the place, but I can tell you where it's on, where you can, like, see this. So if everybody has a chance to look up The Unexplained with William Shatner, there is an episode about churches. And one of the churches that they talk about has this very interesting spiral staircase. And so this is where it gets interesting, as I'm going to touch on with, like, what Kobe's saying, where nowadays you can't really recreate this. And that's the same way with the staircase. It is built with material that this world doesn't even have. And the guy that supposedly created this was very sketchy already, because when you hear the story, it's like this guy basically knocked on the church, said, "I will do the spiral staircase. However, I don't want anybody in the church to bother me." And what are we, nobody could go into the church when he was working on this staircase. And when it was done, that guy that supposedly built this could not even be found. And even to this day, they had a guy come in to, like, test the material. And the guy said, "This is made out of stuff that we can't even produce nowadays."
Yeah, dude, definitely. So to me, I'm very open-minded, but, you know, I'm a big believer in Occam's razor. The simplest explanation holds truth. I apply Occam's razor to things. And so depending on when that was, you know, that story to me sounds like probably the bullshit one. That there was something in place, all like that people, a group made that staircase. People who had access to this arc, sacred geometry, this way of creating that isn't done anymore. I hear stories like that, Paul, that's like, oh, it was five guys and they got it done in 2 days and they had abilities no one had. And, you know, it's like what, you know, that guy was in there by himself, but so there's no witnesses. We don't have that much information about that example, but,
We do.
Oh,
I
okay.
I actually just found it. It's
beautiful.
So this is, so just to go on to the story that I'm talking about. So with this material too, that is not even existent in today or whatever, this is actually done without nails.
Done without nails. Incredible.
This has no nails attached to the spiral staircase. So what I'm going to do for people is I will drop a picture here as we're talking about this now that I found it, but I will also drop the link that I found into the podcast notes as well, so you can see this gorgeous spiral staircase. I find it gorgeous because
it is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really cool. And if the story is real, which people will tell you that yes, this guy basically came here, did not want to get disturbed, and this is what he made.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, for everybody listening, and I don't mean to just like hear it and call it bullshit right off the bat. I'm just trying to introduce a different perspective that people could have. Like, I don't, like I said, I didn't know anything about this going into it, but you know, who knows, man? Maybe it is that guy and he held some kind of knowledge. You know, but I'm just, the point I was trying to make is just questioning narratives is not a negative. It's important. So if you take the word cathedral and you break it down, you have, I'm not sure, and maybe Latin, maybe we can fact check that, but to break down the word cathedral means cathode raw. And that is a harnesser of energy. Like I said, the way we view this, what I know to be the realm, the way we view this realm has been distorted or fabricated by, you know, the introduction of a certain narrative that we're born into. And so the cathode raw could have been a harnesser of energy right out of the ether. If you look at it, you know, the top of a church that sticks up in the air, you know, I believe that, you know, the ether around us, the world around us is holds energy. I mean, the ground is electrically charged. So this is, I'm just presenting an idea of that there is a very different way of living as well. So that's just one interpretation that you can get from those, a possibility for these churches all around us. But of course you have religion as well, and that's a whole other conversation. But just in the way I was saying, I think you know, the belief in the spirit realm has been distorted. There's you know, that could, religion has definitely been has been pushed out as well. And I only bring that up because it is a belief or you know, sometimes like a knowledge of that there is more to this place, and we're not just living in this this accidental matter-based world. Nobody can even really explain matter itself, right? Because to me, it's a projection of consciousness. But I digress, Paul. Where's your head at right now?
My head is basically listening to you and stuff, but with the consciousness. you know, that can also fall into, well, consciousness. Are we actually in a real state of consciousness right now, or are we in a stimulation or this and that? Like, you know, are we just pawn being moved right now? You know, because our destination is already planned out for us, et cetera, et cetera. That's what science is for, though. You know, that's what our scientists are supposed to do, is try to find these answers. And I think, honestly, science has its pros and cons. And I don't even know where to maybe start with that. But I just know, I don't think science really had the real technology yet to really answer those bizarre questions, like consciousness and reality, simulation. They say that this is like a simulation, depending on who you talk to. But when you ask proof, their answers are very it's almost like it's really hard to really say like one thing, like like dreaming is a state of consciousness sometimes too, where it's a fabrication of what could be, what is to come. We get to quote see a different realm sometimes. It's I don't know, like I guess what I'm trying to get at is when all our time comes, we will know the real answer.
Maybe, dude. Yeah. You know, and something I think is, you know, that simulation theory, right, to touch on that. It's not something I mean, I guess it would depend on how the person is presenting the idea that we're in a simulation. But to me, when I hear simulation, it's like, okay, a simulation as opposed to what? Like, if you're to wake up from this so-called simulation, there's still a root consciousness there, you know? So, but that's, yeah, but that, you know, also holds the theme of we're in a sort of creation, right? Like there is a kind of like a third, almost like a third party, like, conscious being that this might, that kind of authored this place, that is the author of what's going on. I think that that's where we get the term God. And then we're kind of, individual pieces of that, but are also connected to that.
We're also told that we're our own creation too. So what we see around us is our own creation, which I don't know how I would even go into that topic, but yeah, I've heard it in that way.
Dude, to go right off of that, yes, like we create our experience here. We author our reality. Right, like you're the god of your own life, but not the realm itself. But not the realm itself, and there is most likely some kind of, there. You know, to me, there's an architect of the of what's out there. Like if you bite into a carrot and you look at it, it looks just like an eyeball, and it supports your eyes. It's eye healthy. It's vitamin A, and that's like I didn't come up with that. You know, like when I look in the mirror, you know, so. That's definitely fascinating.
Kind of like how we drink water because water is basically like our oil.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Just like an oil pumps through the earth. Man, there's so many ways to go with this conversation.
I think that has to be left on your show or something because, yeah, I don't know where I'm trying to go with this either, but maybe like for a future episode or something, we'll try to figure it out and plan it better. But but to kind of get back on track though a little bit is so, but yeah, with these places that we mentioned, with these weird miracles, even too, with me talking about the staircase that is built without nails, even, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing this staircase in person either, because you know, that's pretty damn incredible that you can make something without nails and it holds really good, and it can have, I think they said 20 people basically start walking down the stairs and no problem, you know. It's like those people in the church, you know, they sing, the choirs, and I want to say it was about like 20 people that would go down that stairs, and you know, sometimes they're like side by side, so it's not always front and back. They're usually two people can go down the stairs at the same time, like one next to each other, with the staircase or something like that. Anyway, fascinating stuff, but so let's dive into what we're really here to talk about, Kobe, which is teaming up with you. So I threw out an idea with you because, as we kind of stated, like our chemistry and everything for the love of the unknown to try to find answers and stuff like that, it's kind of like interesting to maybe try to better give us content for both channels of to maybe picking the brains and showing people and understanding the haunting behind each location. So example is, so you're known in the Windham County, and as I sent you a list, there's a nice little list of Windham County, and one of them is the like Putney Inn. You got the Brattleboro Retreat, which is basically the former Vermont Asylum for the Insane, as we were kind of talking about earlier, whereas we were talking about this back in the day, we would be going to the mental institution. So, I guess, Kobe, take it away. What do you think of this idea of possibly going to these places to help, you know, understand the realm of the unknown, but in a different way of showing people as well?
Yeah, dude, as I prepare to go to these places, and you know, Paul, like you check, yeah, of course, check out hauntedvermont.org. You can find lists of hauntings in Vermont, tons of fascinating stuff on there. And as Paul said, I'm going to be visiting. And as I go to these places, my point is going to be, I'm asking myself, what do I want to extract from this, right? What do, you know, I want to lead into something, you know, that it'll be connected to content that you make as well. But I'm going to be really using my intuition to see what kind of energy do I get from this. You know, maybe I'll go in probably knowing as little as I can about the place. See what the place tells, you know, maybe, you know, kind of testing my own, I'm not a clairvoyant, but, you know, I've got some splashes of some stuff going on. And so what energy do I get? What is the history of the place that's presented to us? And I'll also, so there we go. That's a connection to what we've been talking about is, does the history that I'm given of this place, does it match what I'm looking at? Does it make sense? What can I find out more about it? So I'll be, you know, probably making just these vlogs where I show up to these spots, ask those questions, and we can kind of map out these haunted locations of Vermont, and we'll hit them all.
Yes, we will do our best to hit in them all. At least the
we,
ones
that we will are, do our best. Yes, yeah,
we will yeah. do our best.
Do what we can.
We will at least get the ones that are like really well known. And I actually have a list too of places that I want to go back to re-record videos, because I feel like the old videos, it's time for an update for sure. And I think it would be nice, because not only like what Kobe's saying would get a feel for the place, but yeah, I strongly like, you know, feel that it's like the very first Haunted Vermont video I've ever done. It was the quote New Boston Graves, where it's in this place where it's supposed to have been this old town called New Boston in Chittenden, which is right by Mountaintop Inn, to give people a location to point out where this is. Down the trail where you basically see nothing but woods, that used to be New Boston. And if you actually travel down the hiking trail, at some point to your left, if you're not paying attention, you will walk by three gravestones. They're just randomly there, and they are very hidden. And there's only three gravestones here, I have no idea. But you know, there's some actually have initials, some I never really could get a better understanding of who it could be. There is an initial that I will say, NW, where back in the day and probably present now, is people were trying to tell me that this might be the grave for Nathaniel Wheeler. I don't know what the other two graves are, because I think one was the kid and one was the wife or something like that. But anyway, why these three are just there is just beyond me. Bizarre. And I almost felt sad when I kind of went there the first time, because it's just like, wow, it's like, did they get forgotten? Like, can we bring them to a proper burial site now? Like, that's the way I'm just looking at it. And, you know, like, hopefully I can find somebody that might know even where, like, old foundations of New Boston is, too, because I'd love to still try to figure out where these old foundations are.
I've never in my life heard of New Boston, and that's very strange. That Chittenden area with those abandoned towns is weird itself. And that's powerful what you're saying about the graves. And it's weird how open-ended it is, you know? And I'll be, I think the first place that I'm going to hit for the, for my vlogs will be that there's this tower in Brattleboro with the Brattleboro Retreat. I forget what it's called, but it's where this doctor allegedly was going to make it and send people up there to clear their head, a doctor at the mental institution in Brattleboro. And the people would jump off and apparently commit suicide when they got sent up there. And I kind of got like a funny feeling, a little bit of a weird feeling, but I didn't feel despair like you're describing looking at those graves. So I'm not making any claims. I'm just, speculating on intuition and locations. I'm interested to see what kind of energy I can get from places and if it matches up. Yeah, I'm looking, as these come in, just examining them. And, Paul, did you get any intel on who Nathaniel Wheeler would have been?
No.
No, okay. Yeah.
The only thing I heard was that it's Nathaniel Wheeler. He would possibly a guy that resided in New Boston, and that's basically as far as I got.
Yeah, and it's we see here, like you said, you saw at least three graves protruding from the earth. And to me, it like right away, this isn't for those listening, it's not a grave. Well, it looks like a graveyard with the amount of graves, which somebody took time to mason these stones and engrave them. And now it's completely overgrown with forest. And it's in a town that no longer exists. So the settlement of Vermont, now Chittenden, Paul, that's a ghost town? No, just give me a little, if you can, about like the area that this is in. Is this where the Bennington Triangle abandoned towns? Is this that neck of the woods?
No, you're thinking of Bennington.
Okay.
Bennington has the Bennington Triangle and the ghost town of Bennington, basically. Chittenden is known for like the Eddie Brothers.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Okay. The Eddie Brothers. Who was the guy that basically kidnapped them? Not kidnapped. There's so who
You mean wrote the story about them?
Wrote the story about, maybe I'm thinking the Eddie Brothers. They were in the circus, right?
No, actually.
I'm probably thinking of a whole different.
No. So I'm glad that you brought this up, because Jason will love this if he's listening to it, but I doubt Jason will be listening. So the Eddie Brothers were thought to be sold to the circus by their parents, when actually, in reality, we have the Eddie Brothers that we're talking about, which is the medium, but these mediums were never sold to a circus. So the ironic part about this is that the people that were in the circus were also known as the Eddie Brothers, but completely different than what the Eddie Brothers, the mediums were. And that is false information about them. So this is all different. So like the spirit capital of the universe and stuff, like Henry never even said that. Now it makes me wonder who said that. Like, where did that come from again? So why was everybody calling Vermont the spirit capital of Vermont? Because it's all over the place.
Okay, so there was a knockoff Eddie Brothers in the circus.
Like people are getting those Eddies confused with the Eddies of the medium.
Okay, so there's two different things going on. All right.
Yeah, so
the audience probably got that, but I didn't, so I just wanted to clarify.
No, it's fun. I always thought that too. So,
no worries.
But then when I talked with Jason, he informed me that is actually false information.
Okay.
So that's why I'm actually glad that I did talk with Jason, because there is a lot of false information about the Eddie Brothers that is what I knew. So now it's like I got to go back and relearn the Eddie Brothers before I know what is actually the real information.
Yeah, there's absolutely. And, like you said, so there's got to be another reason for that area of Vermont getting called the spirit capital of the universe or the state itself. Because you have things like this too, just a graveyard in the forest, which I guess you just stumbled upon. And And then throughout New England as well, you know, it just makes me think of the stone walls. People, if you live in, you know, those are just lining the woods. And it's, you know, and I get the farming theory. And for those who aren't familiar, if you go to more rural New England, you'll find just these stone walls stacked all throughout the forest, stretching miles, and they keep going. And they're on the side of the road sometimes too, just literally like someone took stones, stacked them like a couple feet high. And I get
those.
Okay, so now you're exactly. Yeah, if you drive dirt roads, whatever, you'll see them. And so people will say that farmers would do that as they were clearing the land, and it would mark territory. Which makes sense. But in some of the locations, like when I go for my runs out on these back roads in Windham County, they're on, you know, they're at high elevation. You still have these walls going uphill, you know. And so that makes me wonder, because it does not look like farming territory to me. And as I, you know, continue on these roads, like I'm saying, it's uphill, it's downhill, it's Vermont, it's high elevation, but you have these rocks. I see these rocks too on the side of the hills, which you guys will see, like it's near the road, but these smooth stones. And when I circle, and then you have these kind of hills, and then I hope this isn't too convoluted, but these roads surrounding these patches of woods that seem to be held up by stone. And to me, it looks like a foundation. So basically what I'm saying is, I think a lot of the terrain here in New England could be grown on top of foundations or structures when you really look at how some of it is set up. And those stone walls could be a part of that architecture if they seem out of place for where a farmer would be.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I'm going to touch on, is basically what people are saying about New Boston. You can basically see like those old cellars where, you know, it's made just out of stone, like it was. Because back then they didn't realize concrete would be the best route, you know. So they just used stones and I forget exactly, like gravel and whatever else they could use to basically form the basement cellars, whatever, to help keep it cool. But then now, you know, even with these old houses, you hear sad stories where it's like, because of the ground always moving, the houses are shifting as well, all because of these old foundations and these old cellars that were not made properly, that as they grow old, it will start to even shift the houses, everything.
Yeah, that would make sense too. Just that's kind of a natural phenomena. This land does seem to be morphing, and it can't hold up the structures, you know. And that just makes me think about, like, you know, the earth going through cycles, and time going through cycles, you know. It's natural, but there's that you know, a foundation that doesn't hold up wouldn't hold up. But it goes, that brings my mind right to hempcrete, and just more about the way things have been distorted for the profit of certain people, like all cows. And, you know, just I'm gonna speak of, you know, just a little some facts for you guys. All livestock used to eat hemp that just grew naturally in the wild, and then those cannabinoids and the CBD would be passed to the people, and passed to mothers, and passed to their babies, and they were healthier because of it. And you could also use that hemp to make concrete. And like Paul was just talking about, a lot of these foundations here in New England don't hold up anymore. They try to build on top of it or do something with it, and it shifts on its own in the earth. But hempcrete was always a more solid option and cheaper to make paper with. And so, you know, cannabis itself could wipe out the pharmaceutical industry. And also, just another fun fact as my mind is going, like, we're told that prohibition on alcohol was not about keeping people healthy or the family unit. You know, I'm not being pessimistic, but it's about finances. It's about the fact that farmers could distill and make their own gasoline by making ethanol and liquor on their own property. You could make your own I don't consume alcohol, but there's healthier ways to do it. You can make your own, make it natural, local. That's way better than poison that you get in the liquor store, which hasn't even gone up. The price of alcohol has not gone up, by the way, despite this shutdown, the supply chain breakdown. That's a point on how it's designed and engineered. But anyway, yeah, that's just a little bit more about the way things are distorted, and that started with hempcrete and the way the architecture of the area, stuff beneath earth. It's kind of like, that's kind of symbolic, everything beneath the ground, like of what I'm discussing here with, something as simple as the prohibition of hemp. And that's just a control tactic. It's not about it's never been about the interest of us. It's about the interest of someone's wallet. But presenting issues without solutions. If we depend on ourselves, everything will be all right. Trust yourself, family. It's all about family and love. Anyway, I pass it back off to you, Paul. Where's your head at?
My head is basically now. So we kind of basically talked about you doing these episodes and stuff, which I know you want to try to make it different between your podcast and like helping us per se, but which is great. And maybe we can talk more of how we can even just make it different, so that way, it helps bring viewers to your place, and it helps, it helps shine the light over on us as well. But like, I have the idea of and you kind of mentioned what you want to do, so we can actually take what you said and separate those categories that you mentioned, topics, and basically brush off them as to what you can show and present for Haunted Vermont, while at the same time we'll keep all that, but we'll add more for your channel, so that way it's like the 50-50 thing.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of figuring out that that bridge where it's like, I'm not necessarily, the content that I make will, right, how will we get that to interact with what you've got going on? Because it's not necessarily just like a preview, it's like a segment, but it's like, it's for Haunted Vermont.
I have an idea after like what you just said, and we'll just talk more about it for sure.
Figure that out.
So I guess, so as we transition real quick, so speaking of like making videos and teaming up, so I know we just heard it off of your podcast, for anybody that did listen to it. If not, we'll just stay it here. We're not gonna go into it like we did with Kobe's show. So if you want to hear more of what we kind of discussed, please check out Kobe's podcast for more of the discussion of what we're going to bring up. But just to kind of make it a short little segment real quick, is so Kobe, you and I are going to be investigating what?
We're going to be investigating Wilson Castle. Yeah, and like Paul said, we talked about that in depth, like pretty, a good chunk of in-depth planning on my podcast, The Blue Coyote. And that'll be my first investigation. It looks like it might just be me and Paul, and that's it's a little bit, I pause there because just two people it's going to be spooky no matter what, but we're going to have to cover
that's
a lot of,
or two.
What's that?
That's enough people too, though. Yeah, we'll have to cover a lot, but that's why you and I will have to plan, how we want to go about doing this. Which I kind of am starting to form a plan. It's obviously I'm trying to figure out if we do have more people, that will definitely increase the planning, and it would help. But then there's somewhere I think you and I will just have to leave cameras and just see what happens as we explore somewhere else,
Yeah, dude. We'll do what we have to do. And just to make the point, it's been Paul and I trying to set this up and planning this. you have to keep, you gotta, you know, go with the flow and roll with the punches, so to speak. But yeah. I'd rather go into it, dude, with two, just you and I, two fully committed people who respect the topic and the process, then, you know, then try to, then to think that we need a bunch of bodies. You know, we're gonna experience what we experience, and
more bodies. The way I've always said it is, more bodies, the more evidence that will get destroyed in the process. So less is more.
That's true as well. Yeah, you know.
So that, and it, like back when we did, when I had my own paranormal group, we started out at 3 and we ended with 4. However, though, when we did like Hubbardton Battlefield, we had like 5 or 6 people. I mean, that seemed a lot, but really, like, we did split up sometimes into 3s. That way, 3 people went over this way, 3 people stayed, or 2 other people stayed with me, and they helped me with, like, trying to figure out evidence of capturing stuff. Like, one of the, like, just to kind of give an example, so as we're leaving the battlefield, there was one piece of evidence that we got where my camcorder, my old Sony one, the light itself kept going in and out, like out and on, basically. So it would be turned off, it would get turned back on. And I know this camera really well, and it was not us. And something was making that light go on and off. And what makes it more incredible is that my photography camera that I had also recorded video. So we use that to record a video to show that even the person holding that camcorder, and it was none of us hitting the button. It was literally doing it on its own. So that showed, that basically made it more solid evidence to say, like, we're not, you know, screwing around with the lights and we're not pressing the button. So, I mean, people could go with it's a low battery, but for this to last 20 minutes, that's really weird, because it did this for 20 minutes straight. And that's what this whole video is that I actually uploaded onto the channel, is 20 minutes of basically our investigator at the time with Janine, and she was asking questions and it was responding to her. But when, like, me and another buddy were trying to ask questions, it was almost like, we're not going to listen to you. We want to talk to Janine. So it's very weird.
Yeah, that's in its own way, dude, that is a crazy piece of evidence. And, you know, yeah, you take things at their own. Oh, man, I'm trying to think about how you feel, you know, standing there watching that, and how I felt when I had my experience, my paranormal experiences. So going into my first investigation, dude, like, I want to ask, like, what's the most nerve-wracking part? Because despite everything we talk about, when I get freaked out in the middle of the night, I plug in my lights. Like, you know, I don't. So to it's crazy, counterintuitive to me going towards this
I think
feeling.
The spooky aspect. Yeah. So I think what you're trying to get at is so when I investigate, of course, I'm kind of freaked out, because the one important thing I'm always pondering is who I'm in contact with, or what am I in contact with? Is it good, bad? You know, because I ran into both, and it's not fun when you got the bad side either, the bad kind either, but then could that require more work of making sure that damn thing does not follow you home as well? Because that's where it can get more scary. But as for the good, you know, I love it. Like, I just find it so fascinating with how I approach things. Like, so like the spirit box, okay? There were, like, back in the day, I used to use the spirit box quite a bit. And that's because I always wanted to try to have a full-on conversation with a spirit, or at least get real-time answers. So that way I know that if I am talking to somebody in real time, I can remember, and I can then try to debunk it or try to look into it more. So here, I'm going to give two examples. One, I'm pretty sure I brought up again on your show, and I'm going to bring it up again because I just love it. I still say this is my best piece of evidence, and it's the Finding Ralph, right? Finding Ralph, look that video up. For those that may not have seen it, I'll once again maybe put the link in the description. But either way, it's a short little video, but basically, the video that I'm suggesting is we went a week after we got the spirit box response of Ralph. And a week later, I came back with different people. So it was not the same people with me during that spirit box session. We actually found a grave with the word Ralph. And that's when we started to really think, like, could this be the Ralph that we contacted about a week ago? And that right there is just sent shivers down my spine, because it's like, you know, you hear the name and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. But actually finding a grave with the word Ralph, like, that's probably the best part. So I would go with that, you know. And the next thing that I'll say is when we were at the battlefield, we did another 20-minute session. And that was just crazy on its own. But like before I would do the spirit box sessions, I used to do this prayer, basically to kind of keep the bad out, but bring in the good. And which I will be doing with Wilson Castle, you know, just to protect us as well. But that stuff that came during battlefield spirit box session was incredible. Like, I'll never forget when I was doing that good prayer and stuff with the spirit box. All of a sudden, without even us, like, just asking, like, hey, or hey, are you out there? Or hey, how is it going? Or whatever. Some voice came in and was just like, hey. And I didn't even finish the prayer yet. And it's just like, oh, I guess we're already starting early. Somebody already is anxious to talk to us. So, and that went on for 20 minutes. You know, we had hey, we had no, like, as in no, they don't want to follow us, because I was like, well, if you would like to come and just chat with us, please walk with us. And they're like, no, which is fine, whatever. But then, like, we stopped at a bench, and we took a cigarette break. I put a cigarette out on the bench, and I offered a spirit or spirits that if they would like to smoke with us, have a smoke with us, that they can bum a cigarette for me. And one of the responses we got was basically is, do you got chew? So obviously we did not have chew. So unfortunately we couldn't share chew with this spirit. And but yeah, I mean, it was crazy. The last thing I will say, which is very interesting for EVP-wise, is so I was reading and researching that there's were possibly captive at the battlefield, whether it be soldiers or Indians even. So I said, okay, that's interesting. I didn't think of anything of it until the last EVP. And when I was doing the last EVP, I was trying to think of the captives, because, you know, if you're captured during a war, it's not going to be fun. So my question was, are you scared? A few seconds after that, I get a female response, and this is the only female response I got throughout the entire night. And the answer to my question, and I'll say it again real quick, are you scared? Some answer came back from female basically saying, yes. Was it a captive? I don't know. Was it an Indian captive? I don't know. But it's very interesting that the spirit was afraid at this point in time.
Yeah. And that's you know, I'm just going to go right off of that with a thought. You know, you messaged me recently and you said, you know, hey, it might be cool for the Blue Coyote if you talk to somebody about time. And you just mentioned that spirit. And I'm thinking about how if she's communicating as a captive, she's lost in time. She's stuck in time. Like, and that still exists somewhere. However this realm works, that person's, you know, whether it's Ralph or a captive or a soldier looking to bum a cigarette or some chew, like, they're somewhere else. They're in a different reality. They're stuck. It's pretty open-ended, but it's really fascinating. And going into this, I'm nervous. You know, I ask you, what's the most nerve-wracking part? And for me, it might be the anticipation, because I've had powerful visual experiences in my life. Like, I don't always, you know, I haven't been there and done that yet with the EVP, and that it sounds a bit different. You know, I don't know if that was jarring for you standing there, but when I've seen an apparatus or it's actually made contact with me, like, it's a jarring experience that sticks with you, and it's really powerful.
Yeah, and I'll add one more story since you mentioned that time thing. So during Hubbardton Battlefield, we went to the Hubbardton Cemetery, which is not that far from the battlefield itself. So once again, with me researching, and you can also hear it at the Historical Society that is located right at the battlefield, where you can learn more about the battle that took place there. So at that time, it was actually still part of New York. This is before it transformed into Vermont. So I think it was like part of either Ticonderoga or Fort Edward, I think. Either way, it was part of New York. So I remembered that as well. And this was just regular EVP. This was not even Spirit Box session. But when I did this, I sat down at the cemetery, obviously, and I had a recorder out, and I had somebody point the video camera at me. That way, in case the answer came more toward the camera, or maybe the response was more toward where I have my my recorder. So anyway, I sat down and I was just like, hey, I'm lost. Can you tell me where I am? What state am I in? And I went back later on, obviously, because this is not the Spirit Box. So meaning, like, I would have to have worn headphones to hear in real time, or I had to wait until I got home to review the evidence. So in this case, I had to wait till I got home to review the evidence. As I reviewed it, very faintly, because it was somebody answering my question, but I had to bump up the volume a little bit, but it sounded like a male spirit came back to my, where am I? I'm lost. What state am I in? It sounds like my response to my question was New York. So whatever spirit, whether it just be like a soldier or even somebody else, it's hard to really say. Maybe some sort of community member when it kind of became like a community later on after the battle. They answered by saying New York. So to their realm, as Kobe's saying with the time thing, that guy still thinks New York, not Vermont.
Yeah, crazy thing. People have their own takes considering everybody listening, but dude, there's, as far as I'm concerned, you know, there's frequencies that can be tapped into where you can contact that person's realm, their energy, their imprint on this place, and you get an, you know, whatever's going on there for them to say New York, you pull that out of somewhere. That, at least that's the way I look at it. And yeah, man, I'm really looking for, I'm glad we're doing this build up to the ghost hunt, to the investigation, you know, a few podcasts talking about it. You know, it's been a, yeah, man, the, you know, time, as far as time goes, in a lot of ways, I know the beginning and the end are sort of connected. Just to, you know, to give that thought, the beginning and the end are connected in a lot of ways where, I don't know. Right, you can't really pin down. Yeah, sorry to lose my train of thought there. You can't.
No, it's fine. I'll touch on that for a minute if you don't mind. So,
go ahead.
Beginning and end, yes. So, as we contact the spirit world, I've always wondered this, and it makes me kind of curious of what your take is on this as well. Is, so, perfect example, you know, me with Hubbardston Battlefield, you know, all these responses I'm getting. Obviously, they're intelligent because they're answering my question, so they know what's going on. But at what time frame, and I'm saying time frame because I really don't have a technical logical word that I want to say, so I'm going to say time frame from beginning to end. So what is the end factor of these spirits that I've contacted before they go back to the beginning? I know it's almost like saying residual haunting, but in this case, what is it with, like, intelligent? What is their ending before they restart? Because with a residual, go with the point here. So when we were doing this investigation, somebody was actually telling me that they actually hear cannonball sounds and horses, almost like there's like an actual, like almost like the war itself is repeating. I did not hear this in the audio, but apparently some other people could pick it up, right? And cannonballs and horses they were hearing. At that point in time, that is the residual. That is the imprint that was made there.
Yeah.
And obviously that has an end. But when it comes to spirits that actually know we are there communicating, what is their end? We already know what the end is for residual haunting, right? It's the whole battle, and then it stops, and then it repeats.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah. That makes sense with the residual. It's that. So a residual is on loop. But when you get something like that person, where my mind just went with, you know, that man speaking and he's still here, what is his end, right? What is that spirit's end? And so to me, I was just thinking maybe, you know, death could be connected to birth. If your time in this is my, you know, an interpretation. If your time in this realm isn't over, your death is connected to birth. And maybe that version, and that's why if it is like reincarnation and you're born again, maybe that version of yourself exists in spirit form from that last life, and it still lingers around because you have something to accomplish in this new life to end that loop from a past life, right? So if the point of this life is to learn love, that's what it is to me, that family, love, people, connections, it's all about love, right? People make love, they make life, just to be honest. That's how it works. And so you have a death, right? You die, wherever that spirit came from, he had his death there.
You have a bridge that has not been completed. Yeah.
Yeah, your mission's not completed. So your spirit, your past self, could maybe exist in spirit form even while you're in a new life trying to figure it out.
Yeah. It's always interesting. It's fascinating. That's why I feel like when we talk paranormal for anybody, there's always endless questions, right? Because there's no such thing as a professional investigator, knowledge person, you know, that knows the real answer to paranormal. We just go by what we know, and that's it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I, you know, speak for myself. I'm here, when it comes to the paranormal, I'm offering a take, a perspective. Certainly
your own opinion.
Speculation, my own take.
Yep.
Yeah, dude, I'm definitely glad that, you know, I could come on today and, you know, like much like my podcast, throw some different ideas at you, some different topics, just kind of a free flow stream of consciousness, dude. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. And it's always a pleasure. You know, I just don't really know how we can end this per se, except for that, you know, we got a month and 3 days to go, and I'm pretty sure we'll probably be talking about it more beforehand, but this is at the recording, because you're probably hearing this after Kobe's episode got out, because I am waiting for you to set yours out before I set mine out. So
definitely, yeah.
That was for the listeners just to know, so that before you hear this one, if you already got to this point, then I guess it doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, like, if they heard yours before this point, then that's great. But if not, I'll drop the link in the description, so that way they can check it out, the recent podcast with us. So it's more of the in-depth talk of Wilson Castle. and the other crap that we, well, not crap, but the other stuff that we did talk about, because we weren't just talking about Wilson Castle, because we were a little bit all over the place there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly, dude. Just to go right off of that, yep, I didn't, right, my podcast will be out, and I didn't tell any, for my, you know, our paranormal fans, I didn't touch on any of my stories, my personal stories, but you can hear plenty about that if you go check out my page, Meeting the Dead with my friend here, Paul Dolsky. That's a great one for your paranormal fix, number 17. We talked about a lot of subjects, but definitely, you know, I spoke on a bit about hemp and natural remedies and stuff like that. You could check out my episode, I don't know, I think it's 22, but it's called Earth School. And Amanda Vollmer, doctor, was on, and she
talked
a lot about health. And so you can hear, I'm just trying to give you some plugs of, so you, where you can hear more about what Paul and I talked about today. But you just check out my podcast and you'll find it. And yeah, dude, Paul, thank you for having me on, bro. And we'll keep collaborating. Yeah.
Likewise. Yeah, it'll be fun and a pleasure. And we'll have to get you back on again so we can discuss something else. And speaking of which, I don't know if we threw it out there in your show, so I'm just going to throw it out right now. So after the investigation does take place at Wilson Castle, for everybody listening, we will be doing another episode discussing that night. So,
yes.
Because I already have a feeling it's going to be crazy, and it would be nice to really get the final reaction. All right, you know, after having a couple days of relaxing because of that intense night, I bet. Because, Kobe, this will actually be perfect for what we were talking about with your episode last, for, what is it, 24, since I was last on you. We were talking about the moon, so I'm going to throw at you this. When we go to investigate on July 8th, we will be 5 days away from a full moon.
Holy shit. Yeah, see, it's like, and that's, dude, it's all connected, guys. Our connection, our consciousness is connected to this realm. You know, the moon cycle, there's no denial as a, it's not, I don't see it as, it's, we're not controlled by the lights in the celestial bodies, lights in the sky. We're interconnected. So, you know, 5 days from a full moon, like you're saying, we'll probably be processing the experience as the full moon hits. And that's something to definitely look forward to, man. It's exciting stuff. Yeah, dude. The moon. My mind just started to go back into that. Definitely check out episode 24. Paul and I, we talk in depth about the moon. And if you want a good take on, you know, I'm assuming, dude, as we both keep putting work out, we're getting new people. So, you know, if you want to hear more about flat Earth, that term doesn't do it justice. It's the realm Earth. Check out my episode with Hibbler Productions. And to hear more about the lost history of Earth, you can check out my episode with Chris Caleb called Old World, Same Realm. That's enough plugs. This is not shameless plugging anymore. I'm going to town, so I'll stop. But yeah, Paul, thank you for having me.
You forgot one. 23. Don't forget 23 with Darsh.
Number 23 with Darsh. Yeah, that's a good one too, because it offers two perspectives on the same topic, and in a different format. Exactly, in a different format. It's a people I've been hearing, you know, I should do something like that, and I was excited that I could do it with Darsh. So
Darsh,
you know,
is a good guy. So shout out to Darsh.
Shout out to Darsh. Shout out to everybody supporting.
Yes. And once again, everybody, thank you so much for listening to Kobe and I's little discussion here. I hope you enjoyed it, especially for what is to come. And just make sure to check out the Blue Coyote. I will drop the URL in the description of this episode so you can check out the Blue Coyote, because there should be no goddamn reason for you to not. And yeah, likewise. And Kobe, it'll be fun. It'll be a pleasure. And we'll have you back on real soon, so that way we can start really discussing. Maybe we can give people a little taste of like what we are planning on doing just a little bit.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool. Maybe we can, do some of that and and talk about it on here, you know, like I was referring to with the vlogs I'll be doing, and we're figuring out how we're going to interconnect the two realms, man, and it will be awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah. So everybody else, thank you so much for listening, and remember to keep your eyes open, because you just never know when an apparition will appear in front of you.